You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. So in this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Kathy Nesbitt. She and I dive in to the world of earthworms. And I'm just going to say that this is a lot more fun than you might expect as a topic of conversation. I explore how Kathy became what she calls an accidental entrepreneur with a mission to bring worm composting into every home in her town. From her beginnings in exploring garbage management solutions to the hilarious and unexpected role of red wiggler worms in her life, we also touch on her journey to becoming a certified laughter yoga teacher and the surprising benefits of a laughter for our health. So before we get started, I want you to think about how many worms you think might be in a pound of earthworms, a pound of earthworms. I did not know before this interview, and now I do. So are you ready? Because I'm ready. Let's go. Kathy Nesbitt, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting.
Thank you, Amy. I'm excited to be here.
Yay. Are you ready for a fun chat?
I am ready. So ready.
Good. I am too. And I'm excited about what we're going to talk about. I begin every interview by asking people what part of the world they call home. So share with us where you are today.
I am located in Bradford, Ontario, which is just in Canada, just north of Toronto.
Just north of Toronto. Okay. Very, very good. And what's the weather like there? We're recording this in almost mid-March. What's the weather like there?
We're coming into spring. I mean, we're still snow covered, but there's paths. We can see a little bit of grass, so that's good.
Very nice. All right. I love to learn about people's personal backgrounds before we dive into the topic of the day. So tell us as little or as much as you like about yourself outside of work. You know, maybe you can, it can be about your family, but it doesn't have to be. It can be a hobby you have, a passion, nicknames for your pets, whatever you want to share with us today to get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah, so married for, it'll be 37 years this year. No children, worms instead. We'll talk about that. And yeah, we dated for 9 years. We met in driving school, which is kind of fun.
Driving school. Car driving school.
Car driving school. In Canada, if you take a driving course, you get a reduction on your insurance.
It's the same now where I live. And so I learned to drive with my parents the old-fashioned way, with your parents in the car just practicing, and then went in and took the test. But now in Florida, not only is it, you do get a reduction if you take a course, there's an online course and then an actual driving course. It is basically impossible to get a new driver's license in Florida without going through a private driving instructor. So it is crazy. When I have one remaining person a couple of years ago who was going through his driving test, and the reality was it was much easier for him to get a fake ID than it was for us to get him an actual driver's license. So
wow.
It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. We stood in line for over 7 hours at the DMV. And it was a long day, but we got it done. Having a driver's license is an important thing, rite of passage. All right. So now, not talking about driving of teens, topic of the day, you proposed the topic of how you got involved with garbage, municipal garbage, and specifically worms. Are you ready to talk about that?
I'm ready. Oh, I'm so ready. Yes.
So you are the 60th interview that I've done since I launched this show. And so I read a lot of topics that people propose, and I love talking to people about different things. And I have the great pleasure to meet a lot of people who have very interesting businesses. This is my first conversation about worms, and I'm really excited about it because I think it's really funny, but I have mentioned it to other people since you and I first connected. I was like, I'm going to talk to this person about worms, and they were not as surprised as I was that somebody would have a business based around worms. So maybe it's just me who's fascinated by this, but let's dive into the topic of the graceful and luxurious topic of garbage. How did this begin with you?
Yeah, so let's see, 2002, our landfill closed for the Greater Toronto Area. And although Canada's a pretty large country, we started to export our garbage to the US, to Michigan.
That
And I
is
had a
wild.
solution. This is indoor composting. It's worms in the house. And so I thought, Toronto, 6 million people, half live in condos, townhouses, places without space to do outdoor composting. And so I set forth, I'm an accidental entrepreneur.
Accidental entrepreneur. So I will also admit that I never really thought of garbage as being an import-export product. I can honestly say that I don't probably do a lot of thinking about garbage. Now, when I was putting this interview together, I was like, oh, I don't really think about it all this much. But I had never considered that we would do international import-export of garbage. That's like something I'd never thought of. So that was interesting to me. So this started in 2002. Do you consider yourself regularly a community or politically minded person?
Oh, that's a good question. Yes, I was heavily involved with the Green Party
Okay.
at a certain time. I'm less so now because it kind of gets discouraging after a while when the party that you're voting for is never gets anywhere. It's although they're the one that ought to be in to care for our planet and whatnot, in my opinion.
Yeah. So
So I
in
would say yes.
there's like big time politics, and then there's like neighborhood community politics.
That's me.
So yeah, so that's really like, so I didn't mean to take this to like politics is a hot button topic right now.
Oof.
So I did not actually mean to go there. I more meant in the community sense, like is it aligned with your personality to be involved with community sort of structure and organizations?
Absolutely, yes. I think community is really important because when you have a challenge, then you can go to your community and say, "Oh, I'm struggling. I have this. I need this or that." And then you have people that can come together and help. And we're not islands. We really do need people.
We really do. We really do. If there's anything that we learned during lockdown, it is that we really, really do. Or at least I do. Maybe I don't speak for everybody. So Toronto begins to export garbage to Michigan. What is, you have an idea of in-home compost. Let's talk about that. What is your background? I've never said a question like this out loud, and it cracks me up to say it. What is your background in compost and worms?
Well, I was a secretary for 20 years, so not in compost or worms.
Okay.
I moved out, I'm from Toronto, and I moved out of Toronto and bought my house in 93. And I couldn't wait to start gardening and composting. When you compost, you create your own soil and you're growing food and flowers naturally without chemicals. And I was getting my psych degree. So 15 years to get my psych degree. Stay in school, you'll get there. Time goes by. I only went at night. Full disclosure, it's not like I failed all
That would be a
the
different story,
time.
but okay.
Right. Oh, although, yes. Okay. So I graduated in 2000, got a job at a group home working with challenged adults. And they had 10 homes and a farm, and they didn't compost. And I asked, I and when I, you know, and For me, I guess I was an entrepreneur all along. I just didn't know. As an avid composter, I see garbage everywhere. I see rotting food everywhere, food waste, which is a resource. We call it garbage, but it's a resource to feed the soil. If we package it up and truck it away, we're robbing the soil of the nutrients. And now we have to add chemicals because the soil's not naturally producing. Okay, so I talked about the composting. Well, let me go back. Before that, when I bought my house, a teacher friend asked me to look after her worm bin for the summer.
A worm bin.
Yes,
Okay,
she
that's
was.
going to need a little bit of explanation. Now, I am not a gardener.
Okay.
I am not a gardener. I love plants. I have a very good track record of keeping pets and children alive, and I have a very bad record of keeping plants alive.
Okay.
So explain to me the worm bin.
So the worm bin is it's the same idea as outdoor composting, but done inside. So it's in a bin the size of a Rubbermaid tote or any kind of plastic bin is perfect. You need a carbon nitrogen mix. So you have your bedding, the worms are in there, you feed your food scraps. So your
Okay.
potato peels, banana peels, coffee grounds, the worms eat all of that and they eat the paper too. And then their poop is the black gold. So that's the compost.
I love this conversation. I love this conversation so much. All right, so your friend goes out of town. You're working in a group home, and you're minding her worm bin.
Yeah, so I
All
wasn't at the
right.
group home yet. This was
Okay, sorry.
93. That's okay.
93.
Yeah, so I just bought my house, started gardening and composting, and then my friend asked me to look after her worm bin. I was like, ew, I don't want worms in my house.
That would be, I have to tell you, that would be my initial sentiment.
I meet a
They
lot of
belong
people,
outside.
right? Yes. But I come from a school that we should try things ourselves. Don't let somebody tell you, oh, you won't like that. Like you can tell people all they want, like they won't like liver, because ooh.
Right.
Okay. People will tell us all the time, oh, you won't like that, you know. Oh, give me a list and save me time.
Yeah.
I want to try things for myself and let me know if I want to do it. So I took on the challenge that summer. I had worms in my house. Oh, it was gross. I still remember that summer. I would open up the lid, throw my food in, close the lid. So I actually was a fruit fly farmer.
Right. Oh my God. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Right?
That's
So
I have a like a rule about banana. So I live in the tropics, the close to tropics. I live in Miami, Florida. And so we have to be very careful how many bananas we buy. There's rules about how many bananas you buy and how fast you have to eat them because you very quickly go from being a banana shopper to a fruit fly hunter.
you're right. And they're elusive. And
Yes.
they get in your wine too.
I've heard
Annoying.
that. I've heard that we use vinegar to trap them. So if we get a fruit fly thing, we use little vinegar traps, which I think is the same thing. They're attracted to whatever's in there, the sweetness. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. So, and it's beautiful. I'm glad we're having this conversation because people say, oh, I don't want to have, you know, fruit flies. And I say, have you ever had fruit flies? Yes. Have you ever had a worm bin? No. Good. You know, the fruit flies don't come from the worm bin.
Right,
They
they
come
come
from
from
the
the
food
fruit.
we're adding in.
Yeah.
So management is required. And I didn't know what I was doing. I just was like, ew, worms in that my house. Okay, I gotta feed them that. So every time I opened that bin, a swarm of fruit flies would come out, and oh my, it was horrible. But I needed to keep the worms alive for my friend, and I wanted the black gold. And I will talk about how to not get fruit flies. It's not a necessary component of it. At the end
Okay.
of that summer, I put on big gloves so that I could get the compost, and I didn't want to touch the worms or anything. And then I was like, I'm never doing this again. No, I'll
That's
just
it.
buy
This is
worm proof.
over.
Yeah, this is
Exactly.
it. My relationship with worms, done. Fast forward to 2000, psych degree, getting the job at the group home, and they didn't compost. So when I spoke to management about composting, they said, oh, we don't need the fertilizer because we have cows. It was
Oh,
the
yeah. Okay.
Right? So I was like, oh, it was the first time I realized, wow, people don't connect what they're doing. They're creating all this food waste and then paying all this money to get rid of it. They have a farm. They have a vocational program where the young adult or the young adults come and for the day do these, you know, jobs. They had a greenhouse, they had a wood shop, a cafeteria. And so these folks would do various jobs. And they had a garden. Like, I mean, they had a greenhouse, so why not make the compost? So I said, well, what? You know, you could turn these food scraps into compost. Even if you don't need it, you could sell it. Or just like give it away, whatever you want to do. And then the greenhouse manager said, hey, what about worm composting? Have you ever done anything, Amy, where you're like all excited about it and then it doesn't work out the way you think it's going to work out? And you're like,
Oh
yeah,
my God, on
never.
a daily basis. I consider
Yeah,
that like a
daily.
on a I consider that sign of success that I'm trying enough new things that when I'm like, oh yeah, no, that didn't quite go the way I wanted.
Right,
Try
but I
again.
tried. I
Yes.
tried. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was me. I was like, oh my gosh, no, not the worms again. Ooh,
Right,
it didn't
exactly.
work.
No more worms.
No. But then I realized I came home from work that day thinking, oh, yeah, the worms. And I realized it's an institution. They're not getting worms anytime soon. So I started to do research. And I realized, or I came across all this information about the red wiggler worms. They eat half their weight per day. They turn garbage into gold, into black gold, fertilizer, plant food. They have 5 hearts each, and my fear of worms turned into awe. I was like, wow, I was enamored. I said, everybody needs worms. And I further heard that the average family produces a ton of organic waste. So a pound of worms and their descendants could transform a ton of organic waste. And the average family produces a ton of organic waste in a year. I was like, oh, every family needs a pound of worms. And I'm just the one to put a pound of worms in every house.
I'm just the woman to put a pound of worms in your house. All right, that's very good. So red wiggler worms, which I saw that called out on your website when I was doing the research for the interview, and I thought that was I just was like I also did not realize that there was more than one kind of earthworm. Of course, that makes complete sense. I have one random bit of trivia that I picked up at some point in my life about really, really huge earthworms that grow in some other country. That is just a random thing. But other than that, for me, worms are worms are worms. But red wiggler worms, you start worm composting. I feel like this was meant to be. Your friend ha taught you about worms, and then you begin worm co composting because somebody in the group home said, "Hey, how about this?" So I feel like there was a path that was taking you towards this. So at some point, so this is 96 when you're in the group home and you start the compost pile.
2000, I
2000.
started the job, yes.
Oh, so that's very close. So then 2002 is when the landfill closes and you become the woman who wants to just introduce a pound of worms to every house in Toronto. At some point, you start Kathy's Crawley Composters, which is absolutely my favorite name of a business that I've said today. Absolutely my favorite. The tagline is "Worm away your garbage." How has the response been to a pound of worms in every house?
Same as mine in 93, like ew.
Yeah. Not people are not knocking down the door to bring worms into their house.
They are not. I have a lot of cheerleaders. It was really interesting. So in 2002, I would set up a table wherever I could, like at trade shows, markets, wherever I could have a table, I would have a table. And I was, all excited about my new business. Oh, this is really great. It's a solution. We're going to stop exporting all this garbage and manage it on site. It's so great. And people were in favor. And then they'd say, well, what do we do with the worms in the winter, thinking that it was done outside? And I'd say, no, they're indoor year round. How do you like me now? And then it's like, oh, no, ooh, no, I'm not having worms in my house. And I realized, oh gosh, how am I going to do this? And I have a psych degree, so I realized that people might have been traumatized as children after a rainy day. Maybe somebody chased them around with a worm, a sibling, or the bully at school, or maybe a fishing incident. You know, the green
Yep.
goo that comes out of the worm. If you were traumatized as a child, you're not looking to that as an adult, as a solution. Like you're just not even
Right.
looking at that article or the listening to the podcast, but keep listening, folks.
No, and we train each other. Well, those of us who live in cities who don't live in rural places, people who have municipal garbage pickup. We are trained from an early age. It goes into the bin and then it's removed. We're not interacting with garbage. It's dirty. It's not clean. It's taken away. So I do think it's a shift to get people to say, I'm going to sort garbage. I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to face it. I'm going to compost. I also think it's if people who are not like, I don't have a garden, I don't have a fruit and vegetable garden or a flower garden. The idea that I would want to or need, what am I going to do with the compost? And so I think that's another thing that gets in people's way. And I generally think that, so you know, the NIMBY, not in my backyard kind of thing.
Absolutely.
I think that's kind of what how people feel about garbage. Like generally, they just don't even, it's like, you know, out of sight, out of mind. And anytime you want to bring a solution into their living room, they're like, no, somebody else should deal with that.
That's it. Well, that's the thing is we put it at the curb, the magic truck comes along and it goes
Yes,
away and
it goes
right?
away.
I don't know where
It
it
goes
goes.
away.
It's
We in Miami, we have, which I think this is probably true of every tourist destination. We produce as a town, we produce a lot more garbage than the residents by themselves, right? Because people come in, they're transient people, we produce a lot of garbage. And back in the days when governments could do things and people didn't know about it, they built a big incinerator. that dealt with a lot of the garbage. But unfortunately, that was destroyed a couple of years ago. And they have been having knockdown, drag out political fights between the different parts of town about where to build this new replacement because nobody wants it anywhere near them, not even the people who used to have it near them. And I'm not a community organizer or involved in it. So I just read the sort of play by play that comes out because it's like everybody agrees we need it and nobody wants it. It's like absolutely a stalemate.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Well, I'm living in a farming town. I live in the carrot and onion capital of Canada. And
Really?
we, yes. Well, it was. I mean, we've paved over a lot of farmland to build houses, so I'm not really sure if we still have that title. And we were looking at, it's called Simcoe County, and we were looking at managing our garbage all in our own county.
Yeah.
So they were proposing to build a composting facility on a farm, and I'm certain that they must have imported it, protesters like by the busload, and they had signs like "Rats, go home!" "Oh, we don't want to." And I was like, "Who are all these people? Where did they come from? And do they think it's better that we build a Walmart that will never be farmland again,
Right.
or have a composting facility that we're using that on our land?" I really don't understand, but it is a shift in thought.
It really is. There's an interesting, so you know who Dolly Parton is?
Yes.
The country singer. So she's from a county in Tennessee. And several years ago, I took my family there on vacation. Seversville, I'm mispronouncing the name of the city. It's the home of Dollywood. And we took a family trip in the summer, the end of the summer, where it's impossible to be in Florida because it's too hot. So we went north to try and get out of the heat and we went to Dollywood. The craziest thing, I did not expect this from this town. She has implemented, or not probably her by herself, but in that town, they have no waste. Everything is recycled or composted. It's
Yay.
unbelievable. And they have this little sign, and you don't have to do anything with it. You just dispose of your stuff, and somehow it's like little garbage gremlins come and handle it for you. I have no idea how. And but there's a sign. It's like, this is how we handle waste in this county. And I was just like, that is impressive, because where I live, you put it in the magical bin, and then nobody has any faith that it goes anywhere other than the landfill. Like it's like nobody thinks that in Miami the municipal services are actually working.
Right. Well, the challenge with garbage is it's complex. You
Yeah.
know, you have if you with the recycling programs, if you move from one city or town or municipality to another, they have different rules. So it's not even the rules are not even uniform, at least in Canada, across not even provinces like cities. You can
Yeah.
move from one to the next city and then it's going to be different rules. Like some you might be able to put styrofoam. You can't in the other one. And I've had people say, well, where I used to live, you could put styrofoam in the recycling program. So I'm going to throw it in. They can just pick it out. It's like, no. What they do is eyeball the load. And if the load is too contaminated, it gets
It's all
landfilled.
going to the landfill. It all goes in the landfill. So, do you worms at your house? You
Yes.
still are doing worm compost. Okay. Here's a ridiculous practical question. When somebody wants a pound of worms, how do you deliver these? Do you send worms through like the post, or how does
Yes.
it?
It was. Now we're using courier, but we were sending them by the mail. And when we started, we actually, when I first started my business, I ordered 5 pounds of worms from two suppliers. And
The idea that there's a worm supplier just totally floors me. Okay, moving on.
when the lady arrived, she was freaking out. She was like, "Is there live worms in here?" And she was like, "This is not in my contract."
That is so now. So, in the like, if I go to the post office, they have me sign. I'm dropping something off, returning something usually that I ordered that it was not arrived. And you have to check the little box, like, this doesn't include, and it's a list of things that I never read, but like all of those things. But I wonder if like worms are in there. But you can. I have ordered ladybugs in the past for ladybug releases. What other funny things have I ordered through the mail? But so I mean, in theory, I guess that it doesn't It doesn't seem, but it is interesting to think that you would open a box and there would be worms inside. Are they're pretty durable, I would think, for being shipped in a closed container.
They make great, you have to package them appropriately, so they have enough moisture, enough air, and all of those things. Yeah, you need to be careful about how you package them. But yes, they make great travelers.
That's so funny. How many worms are in a pound of worms?
Yeah, the red wigglers are a small worm, so about 800 to 1,000 worms in a
800
pound.
worms. Oh my goodness. Okay, that's so funny. All right. How big a box? Like, so 800 worms, a pound of worms. How big of a bin are you keeping for this?
Oh, for the bin, the guideline is a square foot of surface per pound of worms. So a Rubbermaid tote would be
So
perfect.
small.
Yeah.
Small, and you just throw your food stuff in there. How now? What is the tip for
Well,
how you
don't
keep
throw
the
it
fun?
in. You'll get fruit flies.
How do you keep the fruit flies away?
Thank you for talking about bananas, because when I do a lot of school workshops and I talk about, oh, I'll use bananas as my example. They're fruit flies, so they're on all the fruit, but we wash the apple, we wash the pear, and then eat it. The banana, we don't wash the banana before eating it, so we just peel, and the fruit fly eggs are still on the peel.
Oh.
What you can do is give them a rinse, give that peel a rinse.
Right.
Chop it up, the worms don't have teeth, and then you bury the scraps under the bedding. So
Okay.
it's like a carbon filter.
Yeah.
So if there's fruit flies in the house, they're not going to find their way into your worm bin.
So that's an interesting thing. Somebody taught me several years ago that you should wash your bananas anyway. It helps them stay fresh longer. So, like, if you don't want, you should wash, if you're going to keep bananas in your house in the tropics. This is not a big a deal, as big a deal probably if it's cold outside. But our bananas come pretty ripe from South America. And so a friend of mine taught me, she's like, yeah, break the bunch apart and wash them, and they'll last a couple more days. And I will say that it is very effective in that, although it is harder to store them on the countertop because I have one of those little banana bunch hangers. And when I break it apart, that doesn't work anymore. So then I just have like a layer of bananas in a tray on my countertop, which is not as cute. But if you
Right. But no fruit flies.
Right. And I like, if you've ever battled with fruit flies in a kitchen, it is worthwhile to figure out how to get them not to come back because they are pervasive. Pervasive. All right. I have loved listening to this story about worms. I am fascinated by the idea that you would be going through your life getting a psychology degree and find yourself with a hobby and a business around worms. This is not actually the only thing you do. The worm business is not maybe the most lucrative business you've got going. You are a health and wellness advocate, and you are a certified laughter yoga teacher and appointed laughter ambassador. I want to give you a chance to tell people about these other things you do and how they can connect and follow you online.
Thank you. Yeah. So it was 2012. One more person said, "Ooh, worms in the house." 10 years into my worm mission, I'd heard it hundreds of times, Amy. I
Yeah.
wasn't paying attention. Like, as an entrepreneur, they say, know what your clients want. They didn't want what I was
They did
vlogging.
not want worms in their kitchen.
They
You
did
heard
not
them.
want that. And yeah, so 2012. One more person. Ooh, worms in the house. And the very next day, I was introduced to laughter yoga. And I
Okay.
don't even do yoga. I know yoga is a fine thing. I jump to the fun yoga. Laughter yoga is laughing as a cardiovascular workout. It's laughing for the health of it. And
Wow.
started it, yeah, it's the 30th anniversary. It started in 95 by a medical doctor in India, Dr. Madan Kateria. And his goal is world peace. And we need it more than ever. We need laughter more than ever. We're in really tough times. And yeah, I went to a meeting, and the woman did a 5-minute intro into laughter yoga. I was like, laughter yoga, that sounds fun. That same week, 2012, I was at a business meeting, a networking meeting, hundreds of people. The very first woman I met was a laughter yoga teacher. And I was like,
Wow.
what? Come on. That's what I did. I said, wow, laughter yoga is mainstream. And she said, no, it isn't.
But I would say that this is a second time in this short conversation where there's been things that are stacking up in your life. Like once you, like you are like a walking example of like things finding you in like an, it's like, I mean, because I've made it through 51 years and never even heard of laughter yoga. And you ran into
Right?
two people back to back.
I think we're all divinely guided, Amy. We just need to pay attention to the signs. The signs are there. We just kind of dismiss them or we don't pay attention. Like everything for a reason. Sometimes we never know the reason, and sometimes we do. And yeah, so I and here's more synchronicities. This was in Toronto, and she had a laughter club, the woman that I met at the networking, 5 minute walk from where my mother-in-law lived.
So this
And
is
my
synchronicity after synchronicity lining up.
it is. And I and my mother-in-law, she passed in 2021, but she was so amazing. She would always like was so supportive of me and always wanted to spend time. So I phoned her up and I said, "Hey, Mary, you want to go to laughter yoga?" And she said, "What's that?" And I said, "I don't know, but I don't want to go alone." And it became our date night. It was once a month, and we would go out for dinner. And she was so nice, like not like me. And she would say, "We better not have garlic." And I'd be like, "Oh no, as long as we both have it." Ha ha ha. And so yeah, it was so fun. And then her club was at a place in Toronto that it's Condoville. There's like 20,000 people live in this, couple of blocks. And she had to close her club after 3 months because the numbers kept dwindling. And she was renting space. You're not in business even to break even. People were like, "Oh, I broke even." It's like, well, you could have stayed home and broke even. You don't have to go anywhere. And I was sad. I was like, "Oh my gosh." I looked around. I was like, "Oh my gosh, these people just don't know that this super fun thing is right here in their basement." And I decided to get trained as a leader. So that's the first level, laughter yoga leader. I love that so much. I got trained as a teacher. So now I teach leaders. And it's a 2-day training, which is super fun. And then what the training does is gives you the history of the laughter. There's research around the world showing that laughter is the best medicine. And it's complementary. It doesn't, nobody's OD'd from laughing. It doesn't interact with any medicines that somebody might be taking. So it's really complementary. And there's research with folks with depression, how it's helped them get, maybe not get over their depression, but helps them cope. With people with addictions, because when people have addictions, they often are drinking or doing drugs to get that dopamine hit or the ox, you know, all of those. And so when we're laughing, we're secreting dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins. And the most important piece, I think, to the laughter is the oxygen. When we're stressed, we're not breathing properly, and our brain requires 25% more oxygen than the rest of our body. Right, our brain kind of, like our frontal lobe shuts down, blood, lymph, oxygen leaves our frontal lobe, so it goes into our muscles so we can kind of escape from the situation, even if it's not like we have to run away from something that's chasing us.
Yeah, survival instinct, like you're diverting the, yes. Yeah.
Right, the
That's what
fear.
causes the tunnel vision and the focus.
Right, so laughter is the opposite of stress. And it's a practice. So you asked how people can get in touch. I have a free online laughter club.
And
Every
you've got the details for that. That's the Kathy's Chuckle Club.
it is.
All right. Yes, we have those details. So tell us about that. We're going to put that in the show notes and in the email blast that goes out. So, because this is a super generous offer. So tell us about Kathy's Chuckle Club, established 2020.
I know, right? Remember what was happening?
I do.
Yes, I know. I don't want to remember. So June 2020, I was like, okay, locked in my house. My husband's really nice, but it wasn't enough. I needed more. I'm an introvert, I was going to say.
Me too. I'm an extrovert. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I started my online club. It's 30 minutes of super fun self-care. It's free. It's on Zoom. People, I get about 30 squares now. It's 4.5 years. And it's just a wonderful gift. I incorporate tapping, brain gym, qigong, just to help people get out of stress and into joy, because when we feel good, we do good.
Sure. I think, I mean, you mentioned several times that there's science behind it. I think that it also passes the common sense test. I think people know from experience that frequently, maybe it's not an absolute, but frequently, if you can find your way to a position where you have genuine joyous laughter as opposed to stress giggling or nervous laughter, that you do feel lifted and you feel connection with the people around you who are there to share that. So I think we put a lot of emphasis in modern times on science and research and data-backed solutions, but I think there's also merit to the fact that some of the things that when we experience them, we realize they are true, right? It feels good to be out in the sunlight most of the time, right? It feels nice to be in nature unless you're being bitten by fire ants or stung by bees, right? Like these are things, right? These are things we know, and laughing together with other people feels good.
Right, it connects us. It connects us on a deep level. The challenge is, and Amy, when we feel good, we sometimes forgo the things that, like the maintenance to feel good. You know, we're like, oh, I don't need to go to the gym today because I don't have time. So that self-care piece gets put to the bottom instead of putting it first. We can't give from an empty cup,
You
you
can't give
know?
from an empty cup. And the other thing that's very modern, which I learned very much since 2020, is that there's a pretty marked difference for me from watching something and what's the word we use for this? Like it's like I'm spacing the word. Laughing at something I'm watching, like by myself or with one or two other people, is not the same as laughing with a group of people. So before we all came home and were working at home, you even it was, like because we put a lot of pressure on the fact that this is streaming or social media, but I would see people and talk about things I had done and laugh with them and share the experience. And that for me is the laughter and the sharing that makes a bigger difference versus watching Ted Lasso and laughing by myself on the couch. Those are two different levels of experience for me as a person. And I think it's very easy to I get isolated and not realize where the disconnect is, the true value of connection and shared experiences with people.
Like thank goodness for technology, and we were able to connect during the cuckoo time. Now we need to get back in person and look each other in the eye and feel the energy and just be with a group. I recently heard that isolation is more detrimental to our health than smoking, alcohol, and obesity combined.
There's a lot of headlines about that loneliness and isolation. And I think that the online connections are really valuable. And an amazing thing happened. There were many people who were isolated because of a lack of online connection before lockdown that have been connected in ways that they hadn't been able to be. So for many people, it's irreplaceable and a lifeline and a gift. And then there are those of us, maybe the extroverts of the world are unusual. I realized that for me, the online connection, which I love, right? You and I meet today, it's our first connection. Those are great. But if I only talk to people online by the end of the day, by like 5 o'clock, I'll go outside and talk to like strangers and plants and pets and, right? Like I need like actual people in I or I don't need them. I benefit a lot from having face-to-face connections with people.
Agreed. Yeah, same. And the hugs, like the in-person hugs, the actual physical touch.
For me those are good. All right, so to recap, Kathy's Chuckle Club, 9:30 Eastern every Tuesday, 30 minutes. It's on Zoom. The Zoom link will be in the show notes and also in the email that I send out to the Imperfect Adulting subscribers. So you don't, it's a Zoom link, so there's no way to transcribe it. Like I sign up for the email list because then you can click on it. It's the easiest way to do that for busy people and whatever might be going on. All right, it's time, Kathy. Are you ready for the three questions? The
I'm
final three
ready.
rapid fire questions
Okay,
are.
I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. It's just for fun. That
Okay.
nobody that has never worked ever to calm anybody down in the history of man. I don't even know why I said it. Like people say, don't be nervous. Your blood pressure goes up. It'll just sting a little bit. It won't hurt at all. All right.
Okay.
What is something that pretty much almost always makes you laugh?
Me.
You. Like going
Just
through the world.
like thoughts that pop into my head. I have a very vivid imagination, so I will see things and I'll just make up a story about it, and it makes me laugh or something. I mean, I have a laughter buddy, and every morning I'm laughing, and I'm in my head thinking, "Oh my gosh, I'm just laughing on the phone like for nothing."
That's really well, that's the best kind of friend when you can do that. That's like late in a road trip when you're slap happy and nothing actually happens, but you're hysterically laughing. Okay. Do you consider yourself a rule follower or a rule breaker? And if you're a rule breaker, what's the first rule you remember breaking and how old were you?
Oh, I would say I'm a rule breaker more than a follower. Because some rules are ridiculous.
Right. Some rules do seem like they're ridiculous, yes.
Yeah, they don't make sense. A lot of the rules don't make sense. The first rule that I broke was probably skipping school. Imagine I was not being in school when I was supposed to be.
And that, how old do you think you were when you did that? I'm curious.
That would have been junior high. So grade 7, I think, was my first
12
time
or
skipping.
13, 12, 13 for
Yeah.
sure.
And I think, I don't think I remember. It was like this group of girls, and we skipped every Monday for 2 months. I don't know what we were thinking, like having a pattern like that. Like, oh, we just want to go to school for 2 months. Well, it wasn't that. It
No one
was.
will notice if we're all gone every single Monday. It'll just slip right under the radar. That is such classic like teenage behavior. It's like no one's gonna notice. We totally got this. And all the adults are just like, oh my God, are you for real? Okay. What is something that you use so often or so much in your home that you will always try and stock up and have it, right? So it's like if you're running low, that's enough to make you go out and get it, or reorder it. What's something that you just like really need to always have?
I would say coffee. I have a coffee with reishi mushroom in it, and
Okay.
so I would always have to have my coffee.
And so when it's running low, you're like, it's time. It's
It's
time to
time,
order,
and I order
right?
it by the case, so
That there
so
you
I don't
go.
run out.
There you go. All right, thank you very much, Kathy. That is it. You've been a wonderful guest on The Art of Imperfect Adulting.
Amy, thank you. I loved it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.